What's up, guys? Welcome to BHL Sports Weekly, your weekly source for news and events in sports. Today, we're talking about how former White Soxer Adam LaRoche takes Bring Your Kid to Work Day to the next level. And we're also going to talk about whether or not the NBA Round 1 playoffs are a snooze fest or nah. All that and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Of course, we had to do this to you guys.
Prince. Darling, if you want me to.
My people are in mourning.
I died for you.
It's okay. We're together.
He died for us. Well, not Prince, we're but together. Jesus died for us. But Prince died today. Unfortunately. We are in mourning. You're watching Sports Weekly. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram at Erica Renee D. Shout out to Prince. We love you. We miss you. We will always admire and adore you.
And I'm Raina Ale, a.k.a. Purple Raina. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And I'm sad. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram. Oh, who cares?
That's JJ the Talented.
You can follow him there.
Please follow him.
I got you.
And as always, see, we're all in mourning, so she's the strong one of the bunch. So follow all of us on BHL Online on Twitter. Follow Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. We're missing Dre today. He's probably somewhere crying about Prince,
probably
too.
Crying too, yeah.
Y'all, I mean, we're a sports show, obviously. But Prince, I mean, where were you when the news broke today?
I was at home. My mom texted me first. She's like, Prince died, and I didn't believe it. So then I searched it, and I saw it all over the internet. It was so sad.
I got a NBC4 alert on my phone, and I looked down, and it didn't like mention a name. It just said like, sources confirm a male person
at Paisley Park. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, whatever. And I was on Facebook a few minutes later, and I start seeing these little posts. But the first post I saw, it was a joke. Somebody said, like, it was a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know. Sometimes people will joke about that. Yeah. And, like, it would be, you know, they'll fake that. But yeah.
Oh, 57 years old, 1958 to 2016. Everyone needs to know. I need to let everyone know that since I was 12 years old, I thought that Prince was my soulmate. I really do believe that.
But we are a sports show. I mean, do you remember, just go back not so long ago, a few years, to his halftime performance at the Super Bowl.
That was 2007,
one of the
I
best
believe.
I've seen.
Yeah, it was.
In my opinion.
And then go back a month and a half ago, he was sitting courtside at the Warriors game.
Oh, yeah. That fresh blue suit.
Yes, he like did his little pimp walk onto Prince, where the
but
hell are you?
Everyone always has the funniest stories about Prince. So everyone who's like ever interacted with him always has something funny to say about him.
I got a funny story for you real quick before we jump into the show. When I first moved to LA and first started coming out here, I worked as a server and a bartender for this like exclusive group, whatever. And we served at the post-Oscar party at Prince's house that he was renting in the Hollywood Hills. And we were told, do not talk to Prince, do not look at him. You know, you just serve, you pass trays, you serve drinks, that's it. Well, we were setting up about 2 hours before the actual event started. And Prince walks into the little room where we are. It's me and two other girls. He gets off the elevator that was purple, by the way. And he says to me.
Did he look up at you?
He did. He says to me, he's like, it's rather dim in here, isn't it? And I was
no,
like,
he didn't.
I swear to God.
No, he didn't.
He says, it's rather dim in here, isn't it? And that whole night, from the time the party started till 7 o'clock the next morning, him and Sheena E., like, they performed all night long. He changed clothes about 5 or 6 different times. Aww. He would change clothes, stand at the top of the stairwell, and, like, walk down the stairs.
He was really dramatic.
He was super dramatic. And then after the end of the party, he cooked breakfast for people that were still there. I don't know if, I mean, I was the help, so I don't know what they were eating. But he, like, sat at, like, the head of the table and, like, had breakfast with the people who were left over, and you could watch the sunlight rise, and it was, yeah.
He was an emotional guy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
In touch with his feelings.
Okay. Josh, you got the first topic. You want to talk about
how... I'm going to go into, like, anything
else.
Let's keep talking about Prince.
Well, I mean, you got a young Prince. Drake is Adam LaRoche's Prince, and that's why he doesn't have a job these days.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
Because his son made him quit.
You guys have probably heard the story by now, for sure. But it happened a few weeks ago, but it just kind of came back in the news cycle because of the fact that Adam LaRoche went on Good Morning America to kind of give his side of the story, or, you know, just give the first talk about it that he has publicly. But Adam LaRoche was a player for the White Sox who kind of successfully, I guess, negotiated and was, according to him, promised that his son could accompany him everywhere he went, as far as the clubhouse, the games, the spring training, the plane. He was allowed to have his son go with him, his 14-year-old son, Drake. They even gave him a locker next to his father, Adam LaRoche, and, you know, he was just going to be part of the group. So what ended up happening was the president of the White Sox organization came to Adam LaRoche and told him he needed to dial it back a little bit because some of the players weren't too comfortable with having Drake in the clubhouse. And so as a result of that, a few days later, Adam LaRoche ends up retiring and leaving $13 million on the table for this season. And he says, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and back away from the game and retire. You know, we have Take Your Kid to Work Day, but definitely, like you said, he took it to a whole nother level. And he was very fortunate to be able to go as far as he, as long as he did with that. But what do you guys, I mean, was the team out of line? Was he out of line?
We'll see. Go.
Was anybody out of bounds?
Here's the thing.
Was it a foul ball?
It was a foul ball left, right, every which way, because the White Sox, according to reports, made a handshake agreement with Adam.
Right.
So it was not in his contract.
It wasn't
just written down.
Gentleman's agreement.
So apparently Ken Williams, the team's vice president, right? Executive VP, took it upon himself and said that, okay, well, guys are complaining. So originally, reports say that Ken asked him to dial it back, but then eventually it says that he asked him just to not bring him at all. My thing is that this was a handshake agreement. As shady as it sounds, if it's a handshake agreement, big corporations know not to write important SHIT down when this kind of stuff hits the fan, because they can always say, oh, it wasn't in your contract. It was just an oral thing. So I think that Ken asking Adam to scale it back is completely fair. Because what kid needs to be at work with their parent every single day?
And it wasn't just like, you know, he's there for a couple hours and then his mom picks him up and he leaves, goes to school or whatever. Like, he was missing school. He was homeschooled.
He was homeschooled, yeah.
But, yeah, he was there every single day with his dad. Wherever his dad went, he was there. And he would take, you know, he would take care of little things in the clubhouse. But still, I mean, for me, being another player in that locker room, I would probably be uncomfortable with having a 14-year-old kid there every day. Because, I mean, a clubhouse, you talk about guy things, you're in there, you know, you're grown men.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be some appropriate words flying around, some appropriate things, you know, themes and whatever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a 14-year-old kid probably shouldn't be privy to that every single day of the week. And what kind of father would really want his son there?
Yeah.
All that time.
Right. It's
almost like a security blanket.
I applaud Adam for stepping up and choosing his family, putting his family first. However, I feel like if his teammates are uncomfortable for them, if he's there everywhere, like the locker room, if he's affecting the training, like them training, then that's an issue. I think Adam probably should have had some accountability here. Like, hey, I'm having my son here all the time. Like, it's invading my teammates' privacy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I should just tone it down, or maybe put him into something else. Like, that's something that he should have.
I agree with you, Raina. And Adam's thing has been family first.
Right.
Baseball is not my life. And I get that. I like that sentiment. I was really anti-Adam at first. Really like, ooh, Adam, this is shady. This is very selfish. But if you watch his interviews, he seems very sincere. Like, he seems like a really
good guy.
A good guy.
He's definitely a good dad.
Absolutely.
But I think that there's a time and a place for everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that, granted, because he keeps saying, oh, $13 million, whatever, you know, we're already. Well, he did.
I mean, if he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it.
The only thing that bothers me, you want to set a good example for your son as a father, but are you kind of adversely affecting the example by saying, I'm taking my bat and my boy, I can't get my way, so I'm going to quit? You know, and even though you're quitting for family, and also he's quitting because he did an undercover sting in Asia over the summer where he got involved with trying to catch undercover sex slaves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he has all these other, I guess, ancillary things that he wants to do post-baseball. I get it. But I really think, considering you only had 6 more months in your career left, the better example would be to compromise with your bosses, say, okay, I'll scale it back. Let's see if we can meet some middle ground. I can teach my son an invaluable lesson in the process and still finish out my career, $13 million or not. I can still show my son how a man can compromise in a professional setting.
See, although I don't agree with him having his son there every day, I don't believe that him deciding to to leave the game is showing his son that he's quitting. Is teaching his son quitting. I think, I mean, if anything, he's showing his son that, okay, this is as far as I'll go. This is the line that I'll draw. And, you know, I'm not going to go any further than that. And I'm just going to leave because these are the values that I have for you, my son. By leaving, that's up to him. He's not saying, like, oh, you know, I'm quitting. And he's teaching his son that. It's more like, I think his son's going to grow up thinking that, okay, I'm going to have my boundaries. And when those are breached, then I'm going to, you know, make other plans. But he did have his son there more times than he should have. That's clearly the case. But so I don't agree with you saying that he's teaching his son to be a quitter.
I feel like he's having the most expensive temper tantrum ever, and that's what I think he's doing. I think he is showing his son how to have a temper tantrum, and, you know, not to be a race baiter, but white men in America get their way with everything anyway. So now you're a white man in America who did not agree with Executive VP Ken Williams, and I don't get my way, so I'm gonna take my ball, my bat, and my son and go. Like, so his little white son Drake is gonna grow up thinking, you know, I'm already privileged, I already have the world, like the world is already my oyster anyway. I'm rich, I'm privileged, I grew up in the clubhouse. People do what I say because I am a white man in America, and if I don't get my way, I'm going to be like, deuces. I think it's a very, very slippery slope, a very dangerous lesson to teach a 14-year-old kid.
I wonder why this escalated. If he's been at the clubhouse or there for a while and Drake's 14, I wonder when the shift happened. Like, did he start getting, like, too annoying? Like, is he in his teenage years and he was just, like, trying to bug all his players? Like, I think this probably should have been an issue before, like, handled a long time ago.
Well, he's only been at the White Sox, what, a year, 2 years? Like, a couple years, yeah.
Not that long. But the teammates, I mean, at some point probably just got annoyed.
I would feel uncomfortable if I was on his team. Yeah. Like, I'm like, hello, this is my space. Like, if I want to talk shit, I'm going to talk shit. And I shouldn't have to, like, stop myself because a kid's here.
Yeah.
White Sox for a year. But the team is actually saving money here because Adam LaRoche has not really been performing too well. Hitting, like, batting, like, in the low 200s, which is not very good for $13 million for
deuces.
Sure. Yeah, so all's well that ends well.
True.
But the guy, you know, the guy's a grown man. He shouldn't be crying over not having his son there every day of the week.
I agree with that.
I think, yeah. I mean, was he, they say he's homeschooled. Was he, like, having lessons at the clubhouse?
When did he have time?
When did he have time to go to school? But Adam did say to, I think, ABC that he feels that having his son in the clubhouse is teaching him more lessons than school could ever teach him. And listen, you know, I get that. Will and Jada and Jaden and
you
Willow.
Find the best porn site to get suggestions from some players.
So
I don't
stupid. Josh, I understand people who think eccentrically that we don't have to go to school. I can teach my. Yeah, you can, but there are different facets of learning. And one of those facets is being in a classroom setting. Another facet could be being out in the field. Another facet could be going to church. Another facet could be going to yoga. There's so many different things that contribute to.
Or rescuing sex slaves.
Or rescuing sex slaves. So I don't like what you say.
That's very noble. That's a good cause.
It is a good cause. But you can't dismiss the importance of academics just because you want your son to be hanging out at the clubhouse every day.
And
sorry.
To be social too, like to have. Meet new people, have friends.
Kids your own age.
Yeah,
because you're going around with grown men like that.
That could be kind of.
When you're not grown, you're definitely exposed to things that you shouldn't be exposed to at that age.
Are we talking Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon?
I'm kind of over Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon. And here's my thing. Josh Gordon, and the reason I wanted to bring it up in the beginning is because Josh Gordon is a talented receiver. Mm-hmm. The guy is super talented.
He is.
Why? I wish we could sit him down and be like, dude, why are you wasting your talent like this, failing these drug tests?
Young and dumb.
I just feel like his heart or his mind isn't in it anymore. Like, he's good, and that's great, but, like, he clearly has proven himself that he wants to party and he has other
some issues or something that he's dealing with.
He doesn't take this serious. And Johnny's a mess.
But Johnny can get away with it because he's already rich.
He's already rich.
Josh cannot get away with it because, one, you know, he didn't come from oil money like Johnny did. And two, they're not the same skin color. So he's not going to get away with it like Johnny can get away with it. Johnny's not hurting for money.
Well, it's going to bite him in his ass soon.
Which one, Josh or Johnny?
Josh.
I hope he can still be reinstated, I think, in August.
August the 1st, I think, is the first eligible date.
I hope and pray.
But it's up to the commissioner.
You asked us earlier, too, Josh, in the notes about do we think that either of them will play in the NFL again?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I don't think that either of them will play. I don't think either will play in the NFL again. I don't. I think Johnny Manziel is on the fast track to Party City.
Cool. And I agree. I think that I don't think coaches will want that type of player. I think bringing that type of player to your team is kind of like a cancer, mm-hmm. I would say. Like, just to have, I don't know. He's proven himself, like I said, they both have proved that they just want to party. They're not taking this seriously.
Going to Coachella, so, going to clubs here in Coachella. LA. Party. Crashing
no
the
more
light
parties
pole.
In LA. No more parties in LA.
But, you know, I want Josh to be able to play again.
I mean, I really do.
So, yeah.
Well,
I mean, if anything, for my fantasy league.
But it's not. What did you have on your fantasy league?
I had him. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he failed me. Like, he failed that test.
Well, you're not going to fail this test if you listen to what we have to say next. DraftKings.com. Whether you are golf's biggest fan or you're just ready to try a new fantasy sport, you can join fantasy golf at DraftKings.com. You can play 1 week fantasy golf every week for free at DraftKings.com. Very super simple. Just pick 6 golfers before the tournament tee off, and you will be all set. But here are the rules. You got to stay under the salary cap. You can rack up points for streaks, for per hole performances, for tournament finishes, and more. I laugh because I always get tongue-tied there. And when you go to DraftKings.com to play your fantasy golf, make sure you use the promo code BLACK so that they know that we sent you, and we just wish you the best of luck. We all play fantasy football with DraftKings, so we haven't played DraftKings golf. So I want to know how people out there do. Seriously, like, so if you guys play, let us know.
I think I'm gonna try it.
Try it.
Yeah. And put the code in.
And put the code in.
Black.
Win some money.
Win some money. Yes. And then you can split it. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be $13
million. Maybe it'll be $13
million. $13 million floating out there. Somewhere.
Adam LaRoche got it. Okay. Raina Purple Raina.
Purple Raina is here. I swear, somebody else gave me that nickname. I didn't give myself that nickname.
I bet you guys don't know where purple. I'm like, yo, what's the purple?
A purple pin and a purple bracelet.
Okay.
I mean,
she has a purple microphone.
Yeah.
She has a purple microphone.
Wait. My nails are purple.
Your nails are not purple.
Yes, they are purple.
They're periwinkle.
It's purple. The lighting in here is giving it.
They're
gray.
That's
a lavender lilac.
This is purple. Anyways, back to Sports Weekly.
We're in morning.
So there's been some accusations in college basketball, women's basketball. Coach Joanne McCallie from Duke and Cheryl Swoops of Loyola Chicago they have had some issues with their players and the organization. So Joanne McCallie, 3 of her players decided to quit and transfer mid-season. Now, Duke, this was their first year in a while that they didn't make the NCAA tournament. 2 of the players that left were the leading scorer and leading rebounder.
Mm-mm.
So then the players were saying, you know, you should probably look into Coach McCallie and her ways. So that was the first one. Cheryl Swoops, get this. 10 out of the 12 returning players either are transferring or put in requests to transfer.
Mm.
And the last coach is Connie Orr from Nebraska. She recently resigned for the same accusations. Players are saying that their coaches are verbally mistreating them, putting their spirits down and everything. So it's kind of a sticky situation because you don't know whether the coach is abusing their privileges or if the players are just being soft and blaming the coaches for their failures.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring it up to you guys. When do you think it's time for the school or the athletic department to get involved in something like this? Is it the first time the player comes up to you and like, I have an issue with my coach?
Mm-hmm.
Or when do you think, should they get involved at all? Like, what's your take on it?
Josh, you're laughing.
No, I think as soon as they start losing money, that's all they care about, really, in the end.
Ooh.
When the school starts losing money.
For both.
Oh, yes, right. It's women's basketball. There is no money there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean.
But you know what, though?
I mean,
for real.
I mean.
College basketball, I played basketball in college, and my coach, hey, he got mad at us. And he was a good Christian guy. So
okay.
He didn't cuss us out. Well, there's a couple times he kind of said a few words. But college basketball players do it all the time. You can bet back in the day Pat Summitt was cussing her players out.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Ariyama is like as cool as he looks and calm and collected.
Oh,
he's cussing his players out.
Yeah.
Remember Bobby Knight?
Bobby Knight, of course. And throwing chairs and everything.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen because you're dealing with
knucklehead 18 to 19 year olds,
knuckleheads who sometimes need a slap in the back of the head to get things together.
True.
And that's just what happens. So,
right.
I mean, but in this case, though, I'm really surprised that 10 players decided to leave. I can see one or two, three maybe, who may have had their feelings hurt because they got their playing time cut and you know, they didn't get what they were promised as far as starting lineup spot or something like that. And their feelings were hurt. But 10 players, you know, the school should start taking those at 10. Because in the first one or two, the school's going to be like, okay, yeah, get out of here. That's no big deal. But 10, that's a lot.
See,
I want some details, though.
See, I think that every sports organization at a school, whether it's women's basketball or football, I think the powers that be need to always have their ear to the ground, whether there's trouble in paradise or not, so that when this kind of stuff does come to the forefront, they can say, oh, well, that was a red flag, and we can kind of go back and problem solve and, you know, do, I guess, damage control from even, like, the smallest things that they hear.
Right.
So I don't think that people that athletic directors should wait until there are one or two complaints. I think the athletic directors or the assistant athletic directors always should know what is the culture of this sports, whether it's basketball or football. Like, what is the culture that this coach is bringing? What's the culture of the players? Like, are they promiscuous on campus? Do they drink? Like, I was on the dance team in college, and our coach I better never see you at a bar with your dance dog stuff on. I better never see you buying alcohol with your sweats on. And so, like, we had a culture of being straight by the book as long as we wear paraphernalia.
Did you follow those rules?
I did. Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. You were never going to catch me dance on a bar with my dance dog uniform on.
But without you, I want that bar doing the Kyle
Rutgers. I was like, So I think they have to always know what's going on. Now, I think there's a double standard because you do have your Bobby Knights throwing chairs and players still staying for 3 and 4 years even though they're getting punched in the head. And I think the double standard is that women can be super sensitive. We can be super our feelings. And
But you're playing basketball. You can't be in your feelings.
I mean, but you can't.
There's no crying in baseball, basketball, volleyball, whatever.
No,
but
yeah,
ultimately,
you
get like you're a woman. You know, you get your period. You have a breakup. You know, you flunk a test. Like we have a difficult time compartmentalizing emotions from work. Emotions.
Wait.
From
so if your coach is yelling at you, I mean, you take it personal.
So this is my thing on this whole case. I feel that sometimes players have been privileged their whole life. So being in a college like Duke, a great basketball program, they're like, oh, I'm good. I got this scholarship. I deserve to play because I have, and my dad thinks I'm really good, and I don't get punished and everything. So once they feel that their coach is actually not on their side, like, yeah, that can get to their head. But I'm going to say that, yes, I agree with you. If there's red flags, athletic directors should come to practice or at least come to see, like, what's going on and kind of, like, do their homework to see, okay, I heard that. Let me go see what's going on. But so for Duke, I think Joanne McCallie is an awesome coach. I mean, she's proven herself pretty well. But Cheryl Swoops, 10 out of 12 players transferring, that's when the athletic director has to really go in and kind of see what's going on.
Maybe they couldn't just live up to her standards. Cheryl Swoops is a bad player.
Yes, and that's the thing that
she could ball.
Players...
But a horrible coach, though. Like her.
That's what I'm saying. Players who coach
sometimes it doesn't translate.
They think... I mean, I don't know. I can speak from experience because I used to coach high school, and sometimes it's so difficult for me to say, why can't you do that? Let me show you. Like, let me show you how to do this.
Would you have to involve them up, though?
What? Let's not talk about that. No, I'm just saying, like, it's hard to transfer that. Like, you just want them.
Words.
Yeah, just want them to be a certain way. And Cheryl Swoops was, I'm sure she was a captain. And I'm sure as a captain, you have that leadership position. And to your teammates, you want to curse them out. You want to yell at them, like, get their shit together.
Yeah.
So I think that's in Cheryl's case. But,
I can see what you're saying, though. Because basketball IQ is something that, you know, can't necessarily be taught.
Yeah.
You kind of got to have that in you, knowing what to do and when. And like you said, it's hard to translate that, put that into words for these players. But I still got to go back to the fact that if it's 10 players, something's going on.
Something's going on. And let's be fair, because Josh, as you just alluded to, obviously if there's a mass exodus, something is up.
Something, yes.
But at the same token, don't be coming to college expecting to get pat on the back.
Right.
Right.
You know,
like,
don't be in your feelings. Like, don't be on your period every week, you know?
Well, even top high school, not even top high school.
And I can say that because I'm a girl.
programs. But high school happens too. Our coach got mad at us in high school.
Yeah.
And we didn't, you know, we might have been like, oh, you know, that this and that. But we still did what we had to do. We took it.
Yeah.
So there's one actual incident that I didn't put in the notes, but Nikki Moody, former player at Iowa State, she is suing her coach, Bill Fennelly, because He said that she said that he was discriminating her and calling her a thug and multiple times. The case, I don't know. Oh. The case is still under wraps. Like
she moody though. I tell you that much.
I mean, there hasn't been Bill's still there.
A moody thug.
So I don't know. I mean, they said Bill's a white coach. Nikki's black. So
well, he called her a thug thing. Like to her face.
That's my mama called me a
thug. I mean, I was going to say this. Like, this could be like a millennial thing.
Thug.
I would like to say that when we were growing up.
Our parents are from the South.
We got spankings. We got called heifers. You heifer, you do this. I mean, not
bad. And all kind of like made up words, too.
All kind
just,
of words.
They're so mad.
Get just such
words.
And such in the. Get just so. And not just by your parents, by your aunties, by your grandma, right. By your neighbors. Like, people, like, I can't say.
I think it's how you grow up.
It's how you grow up. These kids these days, these 18-year-olds are like, that didn't happen to me. I didn't get spankings. I got time out, and I was this, this, and that.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, got spankings. I got time out. I got go get that switch off the bush, you know, go to bed at 6 o'clock.
Exactly. And if you're, you know, a hot, you know, all-American freshman out of Idaho somewhere who is Miss Idaho basketball and come to play for Cheryl Swoops, like, she's going to put you in your place.
She's going to put you in your place, especially given, like, her career. Like, you're not going to come into my program and act like you are everything. I'm going to teach you a lesson. So, I don't know.
Why are you laughing,
John? I was going to say, she might want to be a man, too. I'm just saying.
Okay, and on that note, speaking of men, we're going to talk a little bit about men's basketball.
Well, she could play, though. She's good.
NBA.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Ball
so
soft. Ball so hard. What's the lyric? Ball so hard.
Ball so hard.
One fine. Negroes in Paris. Negroes in Paris. But also soft. All the reasons why NBA playoffs round one are so underwhelming. Okay, so I wrote, like, the first round has been dismally disappointing. Warriors-Rockets, game one, 104-78. Game two, 115-106. Spurs-Grizzlies. Spurs, 106. Grizzlies, 74-94. Spurs, second game, 68. Grizzlies, OKC. Surprised us, though, because they lost the second game by a point. But they won tonight by a ton.
Yeah.
Clippers, 115-95. What up, Clipper Nation? And then 102-81 against Portland. And on the eastern side of the nation, you got Cavs beat the Pistons barely. The first game, 106-101. Yeah. But then last night's game, they ended up winning handily, but it was still close until like the third or fourth quarter. I don't know. I mean, you can just go on and on and on about how Heat and Hornets, who's checking for that series?
I'm honestly not.
But, you know, I was one that picked that maybe the Hornets could pull that off.
Well, you picked egregiously wrong.
I picked the Celtics.
I mean, it's not over.
It's over. You picked the Celtics.
In that series, that's Celtics and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the Celtics. What are they? 1-1?
No.
Two-0. Yeah. 2-0. Atlanta won 2.
Yeah. That last game, the first game, was 102-101.
That first game was so close.
Was so
that's when I was just like, oh, this is going to be a good series.
Psych.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, last year's playoffs, first round was so exciting. I mean, I can't remember every single matchup, but I just remember watching, thinking, like, these matchups could be, you know, Eastern Conference or Western Conference final matchups. And then, like,
a lot of game sevens.
A lot of late series games.
I think the West Coast teams, the West Coast series, that's interesting compared to the East Coast. I mean,
games, without question. We're stacked
sure.
in the West.
Stacked in the West.
But this year, though, that's not so much the case, though.
Yeah, because you got, let's see, Grizzlies are normally a force with which to be reckoned, and they have no Gasol, no Conley.
Yeah. But the Blazers are really disappointing me, I have to say.
Yeah, I wanted the Blazers to pull that off, for
sure.
Sorry,
they're disappointing. Maybe
Lillard
they'll switch
could,
it off.
Could drop 50 again like he did early in the season.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, but the Blazers are showing their true colors. I mean, what's their record? I think they have like 44 wins.
Fifth seed?
They're a fifth seed, but the drop off from 4 to 5 was it like 8 to 10 games? So
yeah, those top four teams are like really good.
So I don't know. I mean, Portland. Chris Paul gave Damian Lillard the work. He was like,
he sure did.
"Look, dude,
it's
I know
playoff time."
I mean,
yes.
Yeah. And right
Damian,
now,
but Damian's the truth. But I'm just
is he.
Yeah.
Is he? He's a lie during playoffs.
But you know what? I think you should really be wishing this goes 7 games, quiet as kept, because you can see more of your Clippers. They'll get a couple more paychecks because come second round, it's lights out.
It's all over.
It's 4 games and a snap. It's done.
Speaking of second round, this current score for the Warriors in Houston game, 55-39.
Wait, who's winning?
Houston.
Good job.
No, you know what? Steph Curry, by the way. No Steph Curry.
The analysts keep saying they continue sitting Steph Curry until the Rockets win a game. I think that's a very good perspective. Like, because how hurt is he really? I mean,
and they're not going to tell anybody either.
Of course not. But they say the MRI didn't show anything definitively wrong. But he's had ankle problems in the past,
right?
So is this like lingering injury starting to, you know, be his Kobe Achilles heel, perhaps?
Hopefully not. I mean, he brought a new level of excitement to the NBA this year, especially for the fans who aren't really fans of basketball.
True. Well, I'm over the excitement. I'm over the excitement.
But you got people now who are tuning in because of Steph Curry.
Well,
you know, so.
I was talking to one of my friends. She coaches younger kids. Mm-hmm. And you know how like back in the day when we would shoot like Kobe. Hoops, but Kobe, these kids are yelling Steph or Curry.
Are you
Curry,
serious?
Yeah. It's all about threes now.
All her kids, they're all just like Curry, and I'm like, that's so weird. It used to be Kobe or Jordan.
Yeah, growing up, we want to take it to the hole.
And he's like the new, So.
And that's what's wrong with these kids today. They don't even know how to get in the paint and body up. They don't know how to get in the paint.
You know what? I did read an article on that on coaching. These kids are already like stopping to shoot for threes, step backs,
from way,
and, like,
out,
way out. Like even my little cousins, when we were working out, like he would stop and pull for a three, and there's like a layup, right? You can get it. And I'm just like, no, we're not going to do that.
Thinking
right
it's
now.
A video game,
we're
2K16.
Not doing that.
And like back and growing up for me, it was all about handles. I played guard and shooting guard, and like you had to have decent handles. Handle the rock, and you know, back then it was like Iverson for me, so I was trying to break people down with their crossover and all that kind of thing. I wasn't pulling up for threes, I wanted to take it to the hole.
You want to take it to the hole, yeah. You don't be afraid of the paint, kids. No. Listen, everybody does not have that Steph Curry shooting finesse. That is,
he is,
but he's changing the game,
right? He is changing the game, and I mean,
he's a game changer for sure.
Okay, well,
it's okay, Clippers, you'll be.
But are you Laker fans out there? I've been waiting to say this. I understand that you have nothing to do.
I understand that
you have no basketball to watch from now until the foreseeable future.
We do.
Lakers have no basketball
to
watch.
The LA Defenders are in the NBA D-League finals against the Sioux City,
they
are.
It's called the NBDL. He doesn't even know. It's called NBDL.
What did I say? NBA D-League.
Well, NBDL. To make it short and concise.
The difference is that
the Defenders are in the finals and the Clippers still won't make it out the second round.
And the difference is
Lakers organization is still winning. Thank you.
On behalf of Clipper Nation, Laker Nation, you are welcome. I'm glad that we can give you some commentary since there's no NBA for you to watch until, who knows, 5, 6, 7 years? Okay. And any more purple memories before we go? Any more Prince memories before we go? Prince basketball. He played basketball with Charlie Murphy and
The skit from Chappelle Show.
Yeah,
that's funny.
He's a basketball player.
Was it the pancakes in the morning?
The pancakes.
He made pancakes.
Yeah. I don't know. Any other sports / Prince memories that you guys want to talk on before we cry? Okay.
No. So a friend of mine.
I think your memory killed it.
Okay. My friend texted me today. He's like, Prince died, and then he's like, you know, the guy who sings Purple Rain. I'm like, you had to tell me that?
Really?
Well, like, I wasn't thinking Prince Royce.
I know who he is.
I was mad enough for that.
Okay, guys.
Well.
Yeah, we sped through that today because there's no Dre. And really, besides NBA playoffs.
No Dre to hold us up and make bad predictions.
Make bad predictions.
And bad points.
Wait, who did he pick to win everything? Was it Toronto? No, he said.
Spurs. I think he picked the Spurs.
Did he pick
Pacers.
Spurs? Oh, he picked the Pacers out of the East.
And then he picked.
The Spurs to win in everything, I think.
I feel like he picked the
Rockets.
Grizzlies
I don't know.
Some reason.
He wouldn't have picked the Grizzlies against his home state.
He did pick the Spurs.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Guys, that's all we have for you guys tonight. Sports Weekly, every Thursday night at 7. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram at Erica Renee D.
And I'm Raina Ale, a.k.a. Purple Raina, with an H. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And I'm still in mourning, but you can find me on social media at JJ the Talented. I might change that to JJ the Sad right now. But no, for now, it's JJ the Talented.
And as always, you can follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. You can follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Again, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Sports Weekly. And Prince.
R.I.P. Prince.
We love you.
R.I.P.
Sing in heaven. We adore you. We love you. We miss you. See you next week. From
Farm executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.